Joining us now to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, it is Mike James. He's a five-year NFL vet at running back, mostly with the Tampa Bay Bucks. Most recently, he's become a medical cannabis advocate, including becoming the first player in history to file a therapeutic use exemption for cannabis with the league. Though that was denied, Mike's fight has not, and he joins us now to talk about that and more. Give him a follow on Twitter at MJ2Life. Mike, thanks so much for the time. How you doing today?
Hey, man, I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, Mike. It's our pleasure. And before we get to some of the advocacy stuff that you've been doing over the last couple of years, I wanted to get a little bit of background on you. So for people who are not as aware with your story, you grew up in Florida, I believe. When did you start playing the game of football?
5 years old, I started playing. And from there on, I fell in love with it and played my whole life from five up until now.
And at what point did you realize that you might be able to make a career out of playing the game of football?
Very young. High school, you know, when offers started rolling in from major universities, I knew that, hey, if this could pay for my education, it definitely could maybe one day pay for bills and, you know, help me financially in the ways that I need to be. And also, it's a game that I love dearly, and I always dreamed about playing the NFL. So being able to be compensated for that was a dream come true.
Now, you played your college ball at the U. You played for Miami. What was the recruiting process like for you being in such a football hotbed like Florida?
Man, it was crazy. I mean, for me, like you said, I mean, it was a football hotbed. There's offers coming, you know, from everywhere. A lot of offers from out of the state. A lot of college coaches coming in and out of schools. But when it came, it all boils down, you know, the U, it was hard for me to choose anything over that. You know, when I went there, it always felt like a family. It still feels the same way, and, you know, I don't regret it making that decision to go there for anything.
And, Mike, eventually you were drafted out of the University of Miami after playing your career there. You played alongside a couple of other guys who ended up in the NFL as well, and Lamar Miller, also Duke Johnson as well. You were selected in the sixth round by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Did you grow up a Bucs fan being in the state of Florida? Regardless, what was that feeling like when you were selected in the sixth round by the Bucs?
Man, it was – I'm sorry about that. I got my son with me. It was great, actually. It was great, actually, you know. I mean, growing up right from that area in Polk County, I'm only like 30, 40 minutes away. So it was great. Actually, I wasn't a Bucs fan, kind of a Cowboys fan, you know, growing up in the 90s, seeing all the great things they did, seeing Jimmy Johnson, you know, leave the U and – hearing about how great he was there, you know, in the 80s and stuff like that, and him going to the Cowboys and, you know, winning so many Super Bowls and having so many Pro Bowlers, so many outstanding players. I was a big fan of the Cowboys, but it was hard when Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl in 02. I mean, it was like everybody in that area was a Bucs fan. So, I mean, it was hard for me not to get the Bucs fever a little bit.
Totally understandable, and you just made my co-host very happy. He's a Cowboys fan as well. And, Mike, I guess we'll start to shift a little bit towards the injury and painkiller side of things. What was the first injury that you ever suffered that required you not only to deal with it in terms of a medical capacity, but also required you to turn to drugs, whether it's, you know, Advil, things like that, and some of the other harder stuff that eventually led to a little bit of an addiction?
Well, you know, my first, you know, significant injury was not until I was blessed, you know, to not have a significant injury until I got to the NFL. My rookie year, week 10, Monday Night Football against the Dolphins, I broke my ankle, and then after that developed a dependency on opiates. I wasn't aware of all the things and all the things that would take place and kind of what my life would go through after that. And now trying to find different alternatives and have found an alternative to help me manage these things. You know, I'm still going through them. I'm still battling through these injuries. I played a lot of football and got banged up a lot. But as far as, you know, I'm able to at least sit here and take care of my son while my wife's away and stuff like that, that's the things that that I need, you know, new medicine for, alternative to be able to manage myself, to be able to do those things. And opiates, after, you know, breaking my ankle and developing a dependency on those, it just wasn't cutting it.
We've talked to Evan Britton on the show before, and he played, as you know, for a number of years in the NFL as well. And in retrospect, he said he was shocked at just the ease of access of getting opiates and a lot of other drugs like that was whenever you were trying to deal with an injury. In retrospect, do you feel the same way? Was it just way too simple for you to have access to those sorts of drugs? And also, did you find yourself hooked just unbelievably quickly to those things?
Yeah, what's I think what's the most, you know, shocking thing to me is there's no education on it. I mean, you know, there's not many questions being answered and there's not many questions being asked, you know. So the education on it is was crazy to me. So that plays into the overprescribing of them also. I mean, when guys don't know what they're taking and know how bad it is, they don't stop it. They don't know how to say, nah, I'm good on that, because the education's not there. So the overprescribing, the education, there's so many different things that play a part in this culture that we've all created that now we have to change. It's amazing.
Mike, how easy for those of us who've never been in an NFL locker room? I mean, you talk about the overprescription of these opiates. I mean, is it something as simple as you go up to the trainer, you say, I'm hurting, and you have them? Is it that easy to get these drugs?
Well, I think it's a little bit more processed than me. See, me, it was my rookie year. I didn't know any better, and I can only speak from personal experience and some experiences I've seen from other guys. And, you know, any guy who's really suffered a traumatic injury who's still dealing with pain, there's not much per league policy to manage that with besides, you know, you got, you know, the layer things, you know, the ibuprofen, the Tylenol, you know, ice and stem. But then when you have somebody who's suffered a traumatic injury like me, I walk around with rods in my leg, my range of motion is constantly messed up, I need something stronger. And I'm not strong to the point of sedation or the point of developing a dependency where I can't function, but something that's going to give me the ability to function and still take care of this pain and all the other things without giving me the nauseous, the sporadic side effects, the dizziness, the bad things that I get from taking opiates.
So we talked about your first experience with opiates. What was your first experience, recreation or medical-wise, with marijuana?
Well, you know, it's so funny because my experience with marijuana always been from a medical standpoint because when I was taking opiates, you know, my wife came to me and she spoke about different alternatives. And I wasn't even, you know, marijuana was as far as from my mind, you know, but when she brought it to me and explained the benefits and, you know, I try to, you know, consider myself a smart guy and say, well, this is logical, you know. So I took it from there and, you know, at the end of my rookie year, a few months after I developed their dependency, I tried medical marijuana for the first time. And it was phenomenal. But, you know, just like so many other people, I mean, I pled ignorant. I pled ignorance to it. I said, there's no way that this plant can do all these things that I'm seeing it do to me, it's done to me in this one instance. So, I mean, it wasn't until training camp of my second year, I was in so much pain and trying to continue the things that I usually do to try to keep myself afloat. And I just went to my wife and said, hey, I have to try marijuana again to see if it works, you know.
And was that the point you also were able to kick opioids as well?
Yeah. Wow. I was able to get myself off those things. And you know, I knew, you know, that I didn't want to be taking those things. But, you know, in my mind, I felt I was in so much pain, I needed them. And I didn't have anything else to help me with my pain. So I was angry at the fact of, oh, my goodness, why would you take away these opiates when I don't have nothing to help my pain? But then when I was given an alternative, I mean, and the benefits, you know, that come with this alternative, it was amazing.
Well, yeah, talk about those benefits, Mike, a little bit. I mean, for the people who don't know about the benefits of using medical marijuana for recovery.
Well, for me, I mean, you know, I deal with a lot of symptoms that I'm going to just deal with for the rest of my life. You know, just from playing this game, I'm going to have them. It's just going to happen. So, you know, what medical marijuana helped me with, I mean, it helped me with even just being able to move around when I need to. I mean, it came to the point where I would be in so much pain, my ankles would swell up, I can't move. And now I'm at least able to go to the store. I'm at least able to go to rehab and try to get through things and try to get through stuff. So it's given me the ability to get my life back and understand that I'm going to be in pain, but there's management things that I can have to kind of aid those things to subside that pain. So that's what medical marijuana has been doing for me. It gives me the pain relief without the sedation. It gives me pain relief without the nauseousness and the irregular bathroom problem. So, or the sleep issues. And that's something that, you know, suffer from concussion, you know, that's something that I've always had trouble with. And marijuana at least gives me a solid 4 or 5 hours of sleep when I was only getting 2 or 3 going through the concussion protocol.
Wow. Talking to NFL running back Mike James, has played 5 years so far in the NFL, hopes to play more, actually, and we'll get to that part of things here in just a few minutes. He's also a medical cannabis advocate. Mike, I'm curious to know how many conversations that you had when you were playing with the Bucks to really enhance how you feel about cannabis as a medical alternative to opioids with teammates, with other guys in the league, to realize that this is something that's very important, a cause that's important to push, to try and get the NFL to really change its mind on something that it's been very firm about in the other direction for so many years.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's something that we just discuss amongst each other a lot. I mean, this is something that we think is very important. Our health shouldn't be a bargaining chip. It should come first, you know, how we feel. And, you know, we've talked about just ways of doing it, but, you know, when it comes down to establishment and going against establishment, as we all know, that can be very difficult for a lot of employees. So I'm trying to forge a path, you know, along with guys that played before me that's speaking out and guys who active right now who will, I'm sure, speak out in the future. I'm trying to forge a path that give those guys an understanding where, hey, there's a community of people that support you. You are right, and this is your medicine, and you are a patient besides being a player. So we've discussed that tremendously in the locker room about, you know, things that we can do and how do we go about things the right way. And I think being somebody that's put myself and out into the forefront, I've been trying to do that the right way and follow league policy per as much as I can, you know, through this medicine with filling out a therapy use exemption, meeting with all advisors or all anybody I need to meet with the NFL to try to force this path for athletes to have their medicine.
Do you feel like there was more of a willingness to listen to your side of things than what there would have been maybe 5 or 10 years ago? And do you think that the league is maybe on the verge in the next 5 to 10 years of actually coming around on a subject that's so important to so many guys who are playing right now?
Yeah, I think so. I'm very hopeful. I mean, talking to the PA, and I think the PA is they're on board. You know, as far as much as they can do, they represent a whole union, 1,600 guys. So it's kind of hard, but they're on board. They agree with the medicine. You know, they agree with the advances in medicine and it being legal in 29 states and 28 states in D.C. So I think the PA's on board is trying to get the league on board and understanding that, hey, you know, you have an obligation to these players to make sure they're on the field with the best medicine and the best alternative. So I think, you know, we're right around the corner. I think it's right at his head. Actually, I'm going to the Big Three game tonight in Miami, and they allow CBD in their league. And just being around those people, I want to chop it up with them and get a chance to understand what, you know, advances they made and what made them come to that point and see, you know, what can I do to bring to the table with the PA and the NFL and see what we can do to change policies.
Mike, why do you think it's taken the league so long to listen? I mean, you're not the first activist, you're not the first current or former player we've heard talk about medical marijuana and finding a way to legalize this for NFL players. Why do you think the NFL has been so stingy to enable this change to happen?
Well, honestly, I mean, I think, you know, they just don't understand it enough. They haven't, you know, taken out the time to really get with the proper researchers like Dr. Sue Sicily and these Schedule One researchers to really understand cannabis. I think there is a pledge to ignorance. I mean, and honestly, it's at fault, and the only people who are at fault are the players because we don't have access to this medicine. You know, what I'm hoping that it's not being used as a bargaining chip is going to be used in 2020 in the lockout and stuff like that. So I'm hoping that that's not the case, but I'm just hoping that they don't understand it, and I'm hoping they continue to educate themselves, and that's kind of what I've been getting, that it's just a lack of education on the medicine.
Now, Mike, I'm not calling you a former running back in the NFL because I believe you are still hoping to play again at some point. Is that correct?
Yeah, man, I'm hoping to. If I continue to rehab, I'm trying to manage everything. I'm getting checked out by doctors constantly, trying to see if I'm able to. But, you know, if I can, you know, I'm going to be out there. If they allow me, I'm going to be out there. You know, like, but what I've told so many people that have asked, you know, if the doctors tell me, you know, this has become too much, this is that, you know, my head, my symptoms won't subside, then I have to choose my life. And even though I want to play ball as much as I can, it will be hard for me to play without medicine, you know, because I need this medicine to manage my life, you know.
If a league like the AAF or maybe the XFL when that comes around in a couple of years is something that allows guys to use cannabis, to use marijuana for medical purposes. Would you consider playing in an alternative league like that, even if it meant not necessarily playing in the NFL anymore?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You got to think about the XFL with Luck being in charge and McMahon, and they're trying to do some things that compete with the NFL, and if they allow us to use medicine, I mean, you're going to see a lot of guys. You think about a guy like Josh Gordon. If the XFL was going on, they allow guys to use marijuana. I mean, he would have went over there and played and been able to play for the last couple of years, and it wouldn't have been an issue. Randy Gregory, a lot of other guys that have been top players in the league, Martavius Bryant, that have been top players in the league that would have, been able to still play if this medicine was allowed or if that was a program that they can get this medicine recognized through.
Boy, that is a very interesting point. Yeah. We actually had Oliver Luck on the show earlier this week, and we asked him about the age limit that the NFL has and whether they would consider going lower on the age limit, and he didn't seem totally opposed to the idea. I wish I had thought about the marijuana topic, because you're absolutely right. Guys who are suspended from the NFL for a long period of time that extends into the offseason, that would be an alternative for them to try and make some money while still playing the game that they love.
Absolutely. I mean, Carlos Williams, a guy from my hometown, we play high school ball together. I mean, Carlos is a great athlete who played a lot of football, who I know has taken a lot of hits. And him and another guy I know, Chantrell Henderson, that played at the University of Miami, had Crohn's disease. And he was saying he used medical marijuana for his Crohn's disease. Mm. And it wasn't recognized. He was suspended numerous of games, and there was nowhere else for him to go, So it's very hard when you're telling a human that has laid their life on the line for a game and an alternative that's better than the option that we have, that he can't use it and he's not allowed to even play with that option, even though it's helping him.
Mike, we hear your son in the background, and I'm just curious because there's been a lot of current and former NFL players who have come out and said, I'm not allowing my son to play football. I'm curious your thoughts on that, and also if whether or not the legalization of medical marijuana for football players' use has any impact on you and your wife's decision to allow your son to play football.
Well, I mean, that's always been a conversation, being an athlete, then having boys, the next conversation is, are they going to play sports? Are they going to play football? And I'm kind of leaving that up to them. I've been kind of steering them in the direction of, everything, the arts, technology. I've just been showing them there's such a big world out there. And, as far as, the medical marijuana aspect on the impact on the game or not, what it has anything to do with the kids, really that has nothing to do with them right now. When they get older and they're legal and they decide to medicate this way, or maybe they won't need it. Maybe they'll be just fine. They won't need any medication. I want to support them in anything they do. And if they decide to never play sports, I'm fine with that because of the simple fact I know what it brings. Now, if they come to me and say, Dad, I love the game and I want to play, and then I'm going to have to really take that into consideration because my mom allowed me to be able to do something that I held dearly to my heart, and it made a wonderful man out of me, and it helped me sustain character. It taught me hard work. So it'd be hard for me to keep them away from the game if they loved it dearly. But as far as me pushing them towards it, I am trying to show them that there's a whole world out there, and there's so many other things that they can do before just turning to the game and saying, I'm going to dedicate my life to this and this only.
That's a great point there, Mike. And just a couple more minutes with you here. First off, what do you love about the game of football?
Man, like I said earlier, I mean, I love that it helps build character, build hard work, build work ethic. Something you have to be dedicated to. It teaches, being punctual, being on time, being where you're supposed to be to accountability, responsibility. It teaches so many things. So, I mean, that's what I love about the game,
And putting aside football and also the cannabis advocacy, what do you love about life?
Oh, man, that I get to live it. I got my wife and my boys. They support me in everything that I do. And the fact that I get to wake up and live it every day and hopefully be a life for others, that's good enough for me, the fact that I just get to live it.
Great answers there. Mike James, five-year NFL vet at running back. Not a former running back just yet. I have hopes, as do many others, that you will be back in the NFL or maybe one of these other leagues before too long. Thank you so much for the time today, Mike. Really appreciate it. We are big fans of the cause that you're fighting for right now, and we're here in Austin rooting for you, man. Thank you so much for the time today.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Take care, man. Good stuff. Good stuff right there from an NFL running back. And yeah, man, we've heard that from a lot of guys now. Just almost seems like opiates and opioids were sort of passed around like hard candy at a grandmother's house in NFL locker rooms. And there's a better, safer alternative out there, and the NFL has ignored it for far too long. So hopefully the next CBA or at some point soon, the NFL can rethink this issue, and maybe guys like Mike James and some current and former players can help convince them that this is a necessary change that needs to be made to the NFL.
The word crisis can be used to cause a little bit of a hysteria, but what's happening right now in America, on the football field, off the football field, but well beyond that as well, with opioids, is a crisis right now. It's something that is costing young people their lives at a shocking rate, and it's also having an incredibly negative effect on people whose lives aren't necessarily over with just yet. It is ruining a lot of people throughout this country, and it's something that we need to get a much better handle on. And if things like CBD oil or medical marijuana can help individuals who are dealing with specific injuries, then we're absolutely going to help promote that cause too.
100%.